B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Mussinelli Show. Brian Westbrook at 4 on a football Friday, spending the hour with us. Sixers big win last night over Boston. They're now 18-7. Big win on the road. They haven't been winning on the road against mediocre teams. Here they beat a good team on the road. The Celtics are going to be there in the end. I'm convinced. The Celtics, they play tough. They're well coached. They play tough. It's going to be. Hopefully, the Sixers don't run into them in a 7-game series.
I think they beat them in 5 in a 7-game
series. You do?
Yep.
So you were impressed with Boston before. Now you're not?
No, I'm impressed with them as a regular season team. I think it's cute.
Not in the playoffs, huh?
No, because of Kemba. You saw when Thibel in the fourth quarter, as a matter of fact, in the whole second half, he only scored 3 points in the fourth quarter, and that was on that somewhat shaky 3-point foul call. And only 8 points in the second half, and on the other end, he can't guard anybody. So honestly, I think that I'm impressed with them as a regular season team, but I don't think they can win with it. I don't think anybody in 2019 can win, 2020 can win with a 6-foot point guard anymore.
Plus, Kanter is not going to play like he played last night. All-world game with him and Tice.
And the other part is with Horford out, and I know they're missing Smart, but Sixers are missing Horford. He's able to do a lot of stuff. Embiid had to do a lot more helping on defense than he would if Horford's playing. If Embiid's able to stay home, he doesn't get all those follows and all that stuff. He was able to get that when Embiid went to help.
A couple of lazy plays in the end, too, where they got offensive rebounds, where Kanter wasn't blocked out.
Yeah, but a lot of those where Embiid leaves, and then a couple of them, Ben was late.
Ben had to recover on
that. Come on, Ben. Ben, you have to get a body on him there. Ben did not, and that's my issue. So, yes, you got Embiid to play better. But Ben didn't play well, and Ben had been on a really, really good streak. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I need those guys to get on the same page. I don't need Embiid to get up 40 points. Like, that does nothing for me. I need them both to get on that same page like they were before. That's why it's just that, to me, that a lot of that's just noise. I don't need Embiid to get 40 and then Ben get 4. I need these guys both rolling, because that's what you're going to need in the playoffs.
All right, so as the Eagles go, we're not really thinking it's Football Friday. interest in the Eagles, Redskins, either because Eagle fans think they're going to win the game easy, which I now do not think they will, because now I'm looking at what's Ortega Ward are now your starters. Perkins is the third tight end, going to be in wide receiver sets. This wonder kid from the practice squad who can run, all of a sudden is
Davis.
He's Deshaun Jackson. We're being thrown in the lineup.
No, Ricky Davis.
Boston Scott. May be a one-trick pony. I'm just saying. Don't expect Boston Scott to have the same game he had last week.
Sal Powell thinks that Boston Scott's the only one that can play. He doesn't think Perkins, Ward, he doesn't think any of those other. He actually thinks Boston Scott has ability, but he thinks all the other guys are just guys.
Don't corkmaz me. All right? Don't corkmaz me with this Boston Scott.
What I said earlier in the week is,
you know,
I
need
corkmaz is now a verb.
Yes, don't corkmaz me. All of a sudden, they discovered Boston Scott. We'll see.
I need one more game to believe.
Of course you do.
I need another game.
And you're the defense coordinator of the Redskins. What are you doing?
You're going to try to game plan out Boston Scott.
John and Steelton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. Happy holidays to you, Daddy.
What's up, John?
Tyrone.
How you doing?
I love your show. And I even got my wife to listen to it when she's available. I'm from a little town called Steelton, back in
1970. I know Steelton. Steelton High Spire.
Steelton High Spire. Back in 66 or 67, Chester, we beat Chester by 1 point at the Palestra. They had Kenny Schamberger and I think Hubie Marshall. We had Deddy Stewart, who ended up playing at Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know who those guys are, but I know Steelton High Spire had a really good basketball program.
And we're not as good as we used to be, because these school districts back here are all kind of tremendous. And when you were away, Tyrone, and now they did a great job. But I agree with your comments about the Sixers. I thought that was as good a basketball game, a pro basketball game, as I've seen for a long time.
They closed it out, which showed some great growth.
Well, we rubbed 8, and then we all of a sudden were at
Rome. Yeah, they made a run, give them the credit, and an errant play would have turned it the other way and given them a chance to get the lead, but the Sixers never gave them that chance.
But if it took a, kick up his butt for the
Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, they saved the world.
Yeah, and I'm anxious to see what they're going to do tonight. Like you say, tonight, Tyrone said tonight's a big test. Are they going to play like they did with, you know, two games back to back? But I just think if they play like that the rest of the year, 75% of the games, they're going to be one of the top three top three teams in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, well, I agree. And they're on a little bit of a roll now. I think you can see the gelling that's going on right now. But thank God for Charles and Shaq, man. Because thanks to them, we now have a nuclear armament pack. I mean, they did it all. They global warming, not a problem anymore. Yes. Shaq and Barkley saved the day.
Yes. Yeah, I almost feel like people are being a little disrespectful to Brett Brown, too, because obviously people get on him after every loss.
Uh-huh.
He goes on this nice streak. You beat the Raptors, the Nuggets, and the Celtics this week. Heck of a job coaching around. Embiid had one bad game against Toronto. Simmons has a bad game against the Celtics. Coach just keeps things running. Does he get a lick of credit? No. It was all Charles and Shaq. Like, not a lick of credit to the coach coached around
it. The Flint water system is no longer polluted thanks to Shaq and Barkley.
I heard that on the Schuylkill on 76, they're now starting construction on the upper and lower deck.
Thanks to those guys.
Thanks to those two guys.
Mike, has tips off to you fellas. Saviors of the world. Mike and Ballot Kenwood. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Money Mike.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, even better, because you and Ty got the matching blue zip-ups, man. It's fresh out there.
Well, you know why I wore this? Because the Americans President's Cup team stinking again, losing to that crappy team. So I'm trying to rally the troops with my USA golf polo.
Oh, man. Hey, great job on Sixers Outsiders by Ty, by the way. The other week when you threw out those stats about Embiid and the post, like, I was like, thank God somebody is just speaking some truth, because I'm tired of seeing these clowns on Twitter. Oh, he needs to get in the post. It's like, look at the numbers. But anyway, speaking about saving the city, I'm in the Christmas mood these days, and I am all serious about this. I will donate a couple $100 to a charity of your choice, Mike Missanelli, if the Sixers can trade Korkmaz. We should start a GoFundMe at 97.5 to the charity of your choice in order to get him out of here.
Well, if they get him out of here, it would have to be because Cleveland would take him and give you Jordan Clarkson.
Like, what about Korkmaz
and a pick?
Ed Stefanski, Philadelphia guy. I know he got booted out of town by the new ownership. However, he's a Drexel Hill guy. Maybe he wants to go tank mode.
No, they
go
don't.
Tank mode. We get Derrick Rose.
Well, who do you want from Detroit?
So I want Derrick Rose. I want D. Rose.
Derrick Rose.
What better guy in the NBA?
You can't have Derrick. Derrick Rose has to have the ball in his hand. Ben Simmons has the ball in his hand. That's a terrible
situation. He's coming off the bench.
Come on, Mike.
Come on. He's coming off the bench this year already in Detroit.
Yes, that's not good. I mean, you're telling me Jordan Clarkson, a bench player who can fit more in a two mold for Korkmaz, then fine. Because then Corky could be reunited with Chady Osmond.
Yeah, those guys play together.
Countryman.
Yeah,
yes, so that would make sense for Cleveland.
With JJ back in town, JJ has gotten a year older. Does not look the same down there. Shooting a high percentage is just, you know, the legs.
Yeah.
There is a path that people have been talking about for him to return.
Yeah.
Would you like him off the bench? Now, obviously, he wouldn't start.
Yeah, of course.
But now you get a pure, you're talking about a shooter.
Yeah, of course.
You give him like a one-dimensional shooter off the bench. Now you're cooking with gas.
Yeah, I would like to. I'd take him in a second.
But you probably got to wait, because there's no way the Pelicans, Zion hasn't even played yet. They're not going to want to trade until they figure out Zion's status. And he's in Philly right now, but he looks heavy.
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to do cardio, obviously, with the knee. He looks heavy. So I wonder how long it's going to take him to get in ball shape once that knee is fully healed.
Corky only 8 minutes last night, Tyrone. I know you were heartbroken about that.
I actually gave him some credit. Against Denver, he actually, now that he's playing less minutes and the coach finally put Feibel ahead of him, who's shooting 46% for the season from three, by the way. Yet Korkmaz is the shooter. he actually can do a little bit in a small dose. You mentioned before you Monday, you mentioned how he's not a bad passer.
Yeah, he can pass it.
He can pass a little bit. If you just limit him, he can be on your team. It's just a matter of the coach was playing him 30 minutes. That can't happen ever again.
Eight-minute quirky is fine, Bob.
Fine, that's what I mean. I don't need to trade him necessarily. If you want to give him 8 minutes, he can stay on my team. I don't have to trade him.
Way to go, kid.
But I'm not...
Eight.
But I'm not giving him 35 like Coach was doing.
Good eight. That's good.
Good eight. You're going to slap him. That's the most insulting thing in the world.
Good eight.
Good 8 minutes. Come on.
Let's go Marcus in Wilmington. Marcus, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, happy holiday to all y'all, man.
What's up, Marcus?
All right. I called, first of all, if you're listening to you, I just bear with me because listening to you, I got a couple more things I want to say, but mainly called because I talked to you before, and I talked to you about Matisse Thybulle, and I told you the boy could shoot, and you said, nah, but I'm telling you, and I get a different look. It's a different look that I'll be looking for as far as a championship-type caliber team when that boy is in the game. If you notice, I heard y'all while I was on hold talking about the way the Sixers closed out. The boy had a block shot, I think, on Kemba to help.
Yeah, he did. He was all over the place defensively in that fourth quarter. I don't think he's going to stay shooting for 40 from three. But he's growing offensively. That's what I'll say.
Yes, sir. Okay, we agree on that. Yeah. I just want to say another thing about Charles and Shaq. Uh-huh. I had a little problem when I first heard it. Heard them the other night when they were talking about. I didn't take it too kindly, but after the way I seen Embiid, the way he accepted it, I thought, man, I seen a lot of growth. Because one thing Charles did say, he said that he was looking to see if there was any leadership with this team. Mm-hmm. And I think that if Embiid does what he's supposed to do, and I'm not looking for him, I don't know if that vocal leader is in him, but excuse me. But if he plays the way he's supposed to play, I think we might have he can show some leadership there. I think between him and the big boy come from Boston, Horford. Mm-hmm. I think that we can. I'm not too much worrying about it. I think play. I think we have the type of coaching that if the coach does his job and they do the playing, I'm not too hung up on that leadership thing. Uh-huh. I think they have the type of team that they can make it, man. Uh-huh. I really like their team. And after all, it's only been 25 games, you know, and I'm seeing growth, man. I'm psyched about the squad, man. Uh-huh. I really am.
Well, that game against Boston will do that to you. There's going to be some more lulls. Yeah, it's all a matter of playing. It's a long season. These guys have to play together. They've got to find spots on the floor where they're more comfortable. They've got to learn to play with Horford and Embiid. They got to get Thybulle to score a little bit. I don't know if that's going to happen. That's why I say it would be easier for me if they added a guy who can, on the bounce, get from A to B, move his body, like Kemba, but bigger. Kemba can move his body into spots where he can get a shot off.
Yeah,
what I want.
You know what Thybulle's doing? He's not trying to do too much anymore. And he's playing basically like a young, spry Bruce Bowen.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting the three balls when they're open, and he's playing really good defense. And I wouldn't have him expand his game much this year. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I don't think it'll be in him to do a whole lot off the bounce just yet. But if you add a guy, I think he can stay at 40 because he'd be very tough to guard because he's always playing with a guy who gets double teamed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he's shooting 46% with a lot of those clean looks because of Embiid, Simmons, etc. So if you add a guy in your scenario, Thybulle's role, he can shoot it from 40 just shooting them open. Because he's clearly worked on it. Mm-hmm. If you ask him to do stuff off the bounce, though, that's where I think you start to get a lot of turnovers, offensive fouls, stuff like that.
All right, let's go to Will in Philadelphia. Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Will?
Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
I was on hold just listening to everyone, call and give their perspective on anything. I agree with you and Tyrone. regarding Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid is a special player. And he gets me angry when he doesn't let everyone see how great he is. I think he lets people get off the hook too easy. You agree?
Are you talking about lets him get off the hook too easy?
Yeah, like he, what Barkley and Shaq said, I had no problem with that.
Uh-huh.
Because he's a great player. Show people that you're great, not that you're good.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Listen, he is a guy who motivates himself from time to time. And I think if we have a complaint, it's that he doesn't motivate himself enough every game to dominate. But when you look at the statistics, you go, okay, he needs to score more. But he has been a pretty dominant player this year.
Yeah, yes, he has. Yes, he has. And the problem I had with Ben Simmons, he's not assertive enough. I watched the game carefully last night. It's like he didn't want it last night. Like he wanted, how they say, no smoke. He didn't want no smoke last night.
Certain teams can click him off. It's almost like they operate a switch in his head. And he sees something and the off button goes off.
I truly agree with you.
Boston does the same thing to him every time. Now, you would think, like I said, this is what confused me about the kid. Like, what goes through his head? He goes, all right, Boston, I've played Boston how many times now? They do the same thing. They stagger defenders. They meet me up top. What do I do? Like, does that thought go through his head?
And what's weird is he has shot a couple of threes now. Not a lot, obviously. He shot a couple of threes mm-hmm. now. They were making fun of him earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're going to guard you the same way. They're going to give you that shot because instead of sprinting up, how about you, under control, you walk it up and step right into
one
jump shot.
You don't have to go 100 miles an hour into that. It's like you're going 100 miles an hour into a blizzard, right? Slow the dribble down. Get your feet under you. Get your puppies organized, mm-hmm. as Raf would say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And shoot the foul shot jumper. Foul line jumper. It's there all the time.
And you know, and the worst part is he's worked on it, and the few times he shoots it, it looks good. Instead, he does, sometimes he'll sprint into it and do that dumb turnaround, which is a way harder shot.
And then they bail off of it,
right.
And they pick the ball off, because they know he's going to do it. He's out of control at this point.
Just pull up real slow. Let your big man post. That way Embiid can get an offensive rebound. If you miss, pull up, little jump shot.
I don't understand it, what comes through his head. I really don't. That's why the guy frustrates me. It's like the brain shuts down on this guy. Darren in Mount Airy on 97.5 The Fanatic. Darren.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Darren?
Hey, Mike, look here. I got a point about the Eagles and then about the Sixers. With the Eagles, you and I talked a couple weeks ago about them making plays to make win successful. Now, we talked about all the next man in, next man out. However, that wasn't the main point. The main point was to make him comfortable in the pocket again instead of him looking stiff. I think we'll be fine for the Washington game. We can't run the same plays we did for the Giants game, okay? I agree with you on that, okay? That's enough on the Eagles. On the Sixers, okay, hey, Mike, I'm an older cat. So in life, you got to go fishing. You know, you got to eat some meat and throw the bones out. Shaq and Charles, they made some valid points, okay? Now, they're there to entertain. But the main thing I got from there is that it motivated Embiid, okay? Now, the problem is we got to get Embiid and Simmons motivated at the same time. Now, Shaq know what that looks like because he did that with Kobe, okay? So he kind of, visualized Embiid doing the same thing. But now Ben is not off the hook either. We got to get Ben motivated. Ben was sitting there looking at Embiid getting his stuff up. They got to do it together. Now, when they start doing it together, that's when they're going to become great. Right now, they're good. And I like what I saw from Embiid. However, Simmons needs to be doing something better. That's what I got, Mike.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I don't know about Shaq needing to motivate Kobe. Kobe had more drive than Shaq, first of all.
He leaves that part out. He was the OG for getting called fat.
Listen, whatever it was. I think this Barkley Shaq thing has gotten out of control, frankly. But if that helps, I got you. Whatever.
You know what? Barkley also was the OG player for you shoot too many threes. I remember that as a kid. Barkley shoots too many. Remember that? You know you heard it.
Well, here's the thing about the fan. And this is why, like, when you bring up the statistics about Joel getting the most touch, post touches in the league, people see that he misses a three-pointer.
Yep.
And in their head, it's like, he's never posting up.
Ever, right?
Right? And that's what we think, because we rush to judgment right away. We don't see the whole picture. We form an opinion in our head. Well, he's shooting too many threes. Why isn't he down low every possession? Because you saw him miss a three. You're not having that same opinion if he makes a three. That opinion doesn't come in. When he misses the three is when you have the opinion all the time. He should be in a post. You're not used to seeing a 7'2 guy shoot threes.
Made one in the fourth quarter when he put him up eight.
Big.
Guys on Twitter. See, that's why you got to have both in your game. Well, hold on. Wait, what is it? That's why you got to have be able to do it all. Well, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
You didn't fake that last game.
Yeah. It's a natural thing for a fan to look at it that way.
Yeah. Because
it's a reflection of their frustration at the moment. All right, 610-632-0975. Have you ever heard of the squatty potty?
Yes. Have you not?
There's this guy that we were was involved with at the tournament who was swearing by the squat. We had several drinks in this. This guy was an ad for the squatty potty.
What?
His name was Todd.
Squatty potty Todd?
Swore by the squatty potty.
He's like a disciple of the
disciple wasn't the word.
Squatty potty.
He goes,
potty
I got
Todd.
One in every bathroom.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
Talk about it on the other side. I don't even know what it is. Well, we're back after this. We got Hembo coming your way right after this as well with the Hembo stats for Sunday's game in Washington. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The waitresses? Oh. You forgot Cranberry too? Is that a song? You forgot Cranberry too?
Yeah, I think so, right?
She runs into a guy at the end and he bought a cranberry sauce also. Last minute thing.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah. You forgot Cranberry too?
Yeah.
All right.
It's cute.
Anyway, Hembo got held up a little bit. Some get up duties, ESPN, jammed up ESPN duties. I don't know what's going on with the, maybe Dominique Foxworthy is yelling and screaming on the set. He bugs me, that guy. He bugs me. I don't like him.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's annoying. Let's get to the Twitter poll update, right? Since Hembo, we'll come up a little later. Twitter poll updates brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Mike, we have over 900 votes on this one so far. Will the Eagles' new skill guys, Scott, Davis, Perkins, Whiteside, and Ward, play as well Sunday as they did against the Giants? 67% say yes, 33% say no.
All right. Thank you very much. By the way, telecast, other than Chris Webber, who was the play-by-play guy?
Marv.
Oh, that's right. It was Marv.
Marv Slipper.
Marvin, what happened to Reggie?
Reggie does the West Coast game.
That's it? Chris Webber does the East Coast games?
A lot of times. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's out. And then the attractive sideline reporter.
Much too, I was getting to my point. Much too little of my girl Allie LaForce on cam last night.
Yeah, that's not who I was talking about.
Oh, really?
No.
Who are you talking about?
The one that does the West Coast. She does a podcast with Candace Parker now. You like her. Ledlow.
Kristen Ledlow?
She does the West Coast game,
okay.
Too. So Reggie.
I like as much out of the force.
Oh, okay. Well, her, Reggie, and and what you call it? Oh, I always blank on his name, does the West Coast games.
Allie the Force is married to, she's married to the, he's a relief pitcher. He's like a submarine guy.
Oh.
He's still in the league.
I'll look it up.
Joe Smith?
Yeah, it's Joe Smith.
That's who she's married to?
Yeah, married Joe Smith.
Hmm.
I didn't like the turtleneck look on Allie.
You didn't?
Thought she looked a little like a bobblehead. That's nice. By having a turtleneck on when they cut to her, I feel like she was like having trouble balancing her head.
Well, because the sideline girls are very tiny.
Yeah, so it made it
she
look
had
like
problem balancing her head.
That's what it looked like. Yeah, other times right. She's looked better. Yeah, I thought she was like almost like having a. That's what it seemed like,
dude. I died. Come on, man.
What?
Turtleneck, mock neck, no neck, doesn't matter.
What? Well, I'm saying. Listen, I would say the same thing about a fella.
All right.
I don't know what Reggie's doing half the time.
Fella. Let's go to Henry in Florence. Henry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Henry.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Hen?
Oh, not so much. I want to talk about Ben Simmons.
Uh-huh.
I was against him drafting him number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any college player that went to college for at least a year, couldn't make the tournament.
Yeah,
and he couldn't win.
That doesn't matter. You look at the guys in the NBA, there are a lot of them that never played in an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but to go first overall.
Well, it's about talent.
And when he didn't make the tournament, he said he was too good to go to the NIT.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'll win with him. I think he's got to go.
Well, he's not going anywhere. So,
yeah, no, I realize that.
Yeah. What is it that you don't like about him? You see the gains when he's really cooking. Nobody else can do what he does in the league, right? And now I'm talking about on the defensive end also.
I agree with that.
Okay, so then why don't you want him?
But to get him to the top, I don't think he's the one that can take him there.
You're not the first guy to say it, but I'm asking you, why don't you think that?
Because he doesn't want to improve his game. He thinks he's good enough.
Well, that, you know, you're not making nonsense. Your points are valid. He needs to expand his game.
You know, like I said, even in college, you felt he was too good to go to the NIT.
Well, no, nobody cares about that. Who cares about that? That doesn't matter his ability is.
Mindset.
You know who the number 2 pick in that draft was?
No,
you
I
want
don't.
Him? Brandon Ingram. Would you rather have Brandon Ingram?
I like Ben.
You're telling me you'd rather have Brandon Ingram than Ben Simmons?
No.
All right. Well, at least you said that. All right, let's go. Mike in Allentown. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, guys. I'm the lowly Redskins fan calling. I'm a first-time caller.
Mm-hmm.
Let you know, I religiously tune into Comedy Central every week to watch the Redskins play. the game is going to be a joke on Sunday if you guys want it to be, because all you got to do is put pressure on Haskins up the middle, stack the box to stop the run game. Haskins runs around like a chicken with his head cut off.
He's going to throw 3 interceptions. It's the only thing I think that the Eagles will win because of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a sack lunch day, and I'm not too confident in the future either. So congratulations. I think you guys will win the division. If it's not going to be the Skins, it better not be the Cowboys. So go Eagles, I guess.
All right, Mike. I actually think the Redskins have a chance to win if that kid doesn't make mistakes, which is unlikely. But the Eagles right now are on an empty tank.
Well, time to fill back up.
All right, man. The 2016 draft is what we're talking about. I would have never taken him number 1.
Okay.
Number 2, Brandon Ingram. Number 3, Jaylen Brown. Number 4, Dragan Bender. Number 5, Chris Dunn. Number 6, Buddy Hield. Number 7, Jamal Murray. All right, now, not as dynamic as Ben.
And he's leveled off a lot.
Yes. Marquise Chris was 8.
Yeah, no good.
Poeltl.
Nope.
Utah. Thonmaker. Sabonis.
Sabonis, yeah, is probably with the third best player coming out.
I mean, come on. Who would you have taken?
Ingram is showing a little something this year as a scorer.
He's all right, but he's a fragile, you know.
Body hasn't developed. Yeah. Also, couldn't guard anybody. And Ben, you see what he did to Jaylen Brown in large stretches. Brown did not have a good game, speaking to him last night.
Yeah.
Partially because no matter what Ben does, he troubles people on defense with that. Like he D's guys up every night now.
Yeah, I like Jaylen Brown. I don't like him like I like Ben Simmons.
That's what I mean. I'm saying it's not like if you watched that game last night, you didn't come away going, man, that's Jaylen Brown.
He hasn't developed where I thought he would get to.
Right.
610-632-0975 is how you climb in. One open line. You can grab it. Again, the sounder today. We're looking for the road trip sounder. When you hear it, you hit us up on our contest line, and you can win a trip to D.C. to see this game on Sunday with a tailgate, charter bus, food, unlimited drinks, tickets to the game. The experience is provided by PhillySportsTrips.com, and you get some gift ideas by going to PhillySportsTrips.com. Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
346, Mike Mussinelli Show. Let me get to this porta potty thing. Yeah, it's a main not porta potty, squatty potty.
Yeah.
But first, you're going to hear something really eerie.
Sure.
So we brought up Seinfeld earlier. Oh, I did it in a commercial.
Yeah.
I was going to do. Georgie, it was the cashmere. And you remember the episode, it was an early episode of Seinfeld where George had a tonsil problem.
Yes.
And Kramer convinced him not to go to the hospital because they would butcher him and go to a faith healer. So the guy they go to is that kooky guy, and his name was Tor Ekman.
Okay.
I remember he had put a cone over his head, and he made him drink this purple stuff.
Yeah.
And it turned his whole face purple.
Yeah.
All right, but in that episode, Jerry had a note that he scribbled when he woke up in the middle of the night, and he had an idea. And he wrote it down on a piece of paper, and he couldn't read it.
Yeah.
And he went to everybody, went to a pharmacist. He was like, what does this say? Like, he was trying to get people to interpret what he said. He gave it to Tor. Tor said, Cleveland 117, San Antonio 109 in the episode. Look at last night's score.
That was the final score?
Yes.
I know they played each other.
Cleveland beat San Antonio 117-109. Now, that's pretty eerie, bro.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now. In overtime, too. Yes. So a lot had to happen to make that score
117-109.
Yeah. Kevin Love had a good
game.
That's
pretty weird, man.
That's super weird.
Yes.
How about that?
All right. So this squatty potty thing. I'm completely unaware of this product.
It was on
Shark Tank.
Yep.
I do remember reading it was on Shark Tank, but I didn't know what the product was. So we're sitting around, and they have this whole golf day and dinner, and it's like later in the hotel, and everybody's having cocktails for the evening. And there's this guy, Todd, there. I got to meet him before, and I know him. So I don't know how the subject comes up. All of a sudden, he starts doing a testimonial to the squatty potty.
He said,
I can't live without it. It's the best thing. I got it on every one of my bathroom toilets. And I'm thinking it's a thing that you put on the toilet.
Yeah.
It's just a stool.
Yeah.
That puts you in a better position?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It rediscovers your natural...
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Seriously?
Your natural
Is this overkill?
Posture.
Is this human American overkill or what?
It is not.
It is not?
It's a real thing. In other countries, they put the toilets lower, almost to where you're on the ground, so that you're in that position. Your legs are higher, and apparently that's supposed to be better for
Like a bidet, like the bidets.
Yeah, but
come on, man.
I'm serious.
A lot of other countries don't even have toilets.
Yeah,
we are worried about putting ourselves in a better position.
Yeah, that's why they're falling behind, Mike. That's why they're falling behind.
Wait. Do you have a squatty potty?
No,
but you would accept a squatty potty
if someone bought it for me.
If I bought you a squatty potty for Christmas.
Yeah, of course I would.
Now, the bamboo one is $40.
Bamboo, no less.
There's an original.
You gotta have bamboo.
The original one is $25, and the SpongeBob one is $29.
So wait, the idea is that you put your legs up in a higher position,
expectantly.
And that is supposed to be...
Yep.
It's supposed to be really, really good.
It's supposed to be
over 10,000 reviews.
Yeah, it's supposed to be better.
Come on, man. How much is this product? 40 for bamboo?
Yeah, 25 for the regular.
The bamboo one's actually kind of nice looking.
Well, if you have a fine bathroom.
It would look nice in the bathroom.
You don't want to have it in there and make it look your bathroom look worse if you got a few dollars. I'll just take the regular one.
The plain white one?
I got to be honest with you. The way I've done it all my life, I've been fine.
You don't know.
It's been fine. You know, I don't know. I need to take it up a notch, Tyrone.
You don't know. Just like I used to think that the Scott tissue, that single ply, was worth it. No, I don't do that. I work too hard to have to deal with single ply. Why'd I work all these jobs?
Oh, wait.
For a single ply?
Single ply. Single ply at the shore.
Well, that's because of the plumbing.
The toilet is smaller. I haven't upgraded my toilet.
That's a different deal. I'm talking about at your own home where you live every day.
No, you're right about
come
that.
Come on, man.
I used to do the same thing. The 1,000 sheets, Scott.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, just see.
Come on.
So you're saying you're in a successful part of your life where you can go double ply?
Man, if I don't
do quadruple ply?
What are you, joking? As many hours as I'm working?
Ties
what I look like buying a single ply?
Charmin Bear.
No, I refuse.
The Charmin Bear up against the tree.
Oh, I got to feel good. I got to feel good. That's a few minutes of the day, man. I got long days. You know what time I get home tonight?
You might as well double up now.
Got long
days. You had the lovely Elizabeth by the squatty potty. And then you got the two ply in the squatty potty.
Maybe.
It'll be a whole experience.
Exactly. It'd be zen.
Yeah, I got to do something.
All right, let's go to Jim in Atlantic City. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike. I think I just lost my train of thought. you know me, I'm a big Sixer and Joel Embiid fan. Uh-huh. I almost find what Barkley and Shaq said. To me, it's laughable. I mean, you know, us as fans, we watch every game. You know, I've watched it, you know, since he's been in the league and stuff. We can see how he develops. You know, they make their comments after, you know, Sixers are on TNT maybe, you know, two or three times a year. And I don't know how that is supposed to motivate Joel. I think he's a good player. He's still developing. And my only thing is, you know, I know you say how much a coach has influence, but don't you think during the game that he would get more motivation, you know, if, say, in the third quarter, you know, Brett Brown just got in his face a little bit and said, you know, you got to go here. You got to do this. I know that's not Brett's style, but don't you think the coach should have more influence than former players motivating?
You know, that's easier said than done in the NBA. And I know that sounds weird, but you're talking about now. You're now going to be like, these millionaires make a lot more than you. They're bigger stars than you, and you can't get on them. Like you don't have the hammer in the NBA. They have the hammer. The college coach has the hammer in college basketball. But you can't embarrass guys in front of their team by getting on them. Now last night, I saw him go, what is this S?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was screaming on the sideline when they turned the ball over. So, but individually, I don't know how far he can take that.
Right.
Because then they start to tune him out, and you get an edge with your coach. And Brett's very wary of that.
Yeah. No, I think I'm impressed with the way the team with Brett this season. I really am. I mean, to me, they're improving. I said, you know, they're going to go on a good run here. And like I said, I think by Christmas, we're going to be right behind Milwaukee. And, you know, we go from there.
I think what he can do, and he did it in the fourth quarter last night. If you notice, every possession went through him in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And so that was coaching. You know, that's a product of coaching. That's a product of, okay, take me home, big boy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, Jim, you got it. 610-622-0975. Brian Westbrook will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Talks some football issues, but we'll also talk Sixers. Maybe Westbrook has the squatty potty.
So he's a man.
Yeah, he's a man of many commercials.
Yes, he is.
So I like maybe B. West would, you know, if
he's
the Squatty Potty people would go towards him.
He might.
All right. Mike Masnelli Show. It's on 97.5 of the Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.